Blog Talk Radio.
Russell,
you have a show coming up in
was it June 2nd with a Philadelphia favorite also?
Yeah, Hank Lundy, a world-class lightweight who's been a pro for a while and hasn't fought in Philadelphia in about 7 years.
Great.
So
great.
We're looking forward to his return.
Yeah, you're
that's absolutely wonderful.
I'm sorry.
What's that?
Go ahead.
That's absolutely wonderful. Hank Lundy, he's an awesome fighter. I like his style. The hammer. I like his style.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's at the 2300 arena.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how
South
can people
get tickets? Backyard.
Yeah. How can people get tickets for it, Russell?
Oh, just go to 2300arena.com.
Excellent.
2300arena.com.
Excellent.
But they better hurry.
Well, yeah. I did notice that they are reasonably priced, so it would be a great show for a very very reasonable price for and a good night out. Well, guys, we had a terrific fight just ended. Z, you want to start with the techniques?
Well, absolutely. First of all, I want to start, but absolutely not with the techniques. I want to commend both guys for their heart. Their heart, their determination, and their ability to adjust. These guys are heavyweights. I have to commend their endurance, their mental fortitude, and just their overall ability and will to survive. With that said, I'm going to give the result. Anthony Joshua won a 11th round TKO victory over Vladimir Klitschko. It was a very, very entertaining fight. What I'm going to say is this. Early in the fight, Joshua Klitschko looked like he was trying to read Joshua, trying to gauge his speed, trying to gauge his angles, what Joshua was doing. And Joshua, he looked kind of nervous a little bit, looked a little jittery. He came in at 250 pounds. Klitschko came in at 240, if I'm correct. They both came in. That was the heaviest of Joshua's career, and that was the lightest, basically, of Klitschko's career. So there was a big 10-pound weight differential. With that said, I don't think that made a whole lot of difference as far as fighting styles. Joshua appeared to be at times looking amateurish. He threw a good selection of punches, but he didn't really have his balance at time. He didn't throw them maybe a proper, you know, sequences to land all the time. So what ended up happening, Klitschko started getting, you know, his timing down. I think in around round five, Joshua came out in a blaze and started throwing punches at Klitschko, started connecting and put Klitschko down, hurt Klitschko, put him down. Klitschko got up and had to weather a few more storms from Joshua. It seemed like when Joshua just started to slow down, Klitschko started, you know, snapped into command and started landing his punches. Hurt Joshua. Paulie Malignaggi said he gave that a 10-9 round, including the knockdown, just because the way Klitschko came back. He came back and took command of the round. I had Joshua on the ropes eating a few rights. From then on, Klitschko sort of took command of the fight. Had his jab, started, you know, looking pretty good, landed a right, knocked Joshua down. I forget which round, but I know he put Joshua down with a nice hard right. Joshua got up. I'm sorry.
Hey, Z, have we spoken before?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, you had met Zito down at 2300. He and Ty were down there.
Yes, my brother
okay,
and I.
Sorry, because I'm you got you're getting it right on the head, right on the head. A great fight between. It was the sixth round. It was the very next round, by the way, when he knocked Joshua down. It was an entertaining fight between Klitschko, who up until today was probably the most boring heavyweight champion in history, and a terrific prospect in Joshua, who is an example of 21st century overhyping. I mean, listen, he drew 90,000 people, and he's got a good attitude,
And he came back when I thought he was so gassed he wasn't going to make it. But like you're saying, skill-wise, you can have two ordinary guys make a great fight. And not that these guys were ordinary, but, you know, they're not Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. But it was an exciting fight. I'm happy to rid the heavyweight division of Klitschko because it's been, you know, a decade of just humdrum fights. What I didn't understand from Joshua's corner, Klitschko has made a career out of walking forward, pawing with the jab, and trying to find the right hand. Every time Joshua threw a punch, Klitschko jumped halfway back across the ring. Why weren't they telling him to just keep coming forward? Every time he let Klitschko come forward, Klitschko took the initiative. Whenever Joshua threw a punch, Klitschko jumped halfway across the ring.
I'm going to totally, totally agree with you there, Russell. And the reason why is because Klitschko is not a counterpuncher. If he was anything, if he was a counterpuncher or even thought about, there would be something to fear if you had to, if he's jumping halfway across. And if you keep coming forward, then he might plant and throw something back. Klitschko is running away from contact, simple and plain. So, and to counterpunch, you have to stop and sort of embrace contact. And Klitschko's not about that.
And can you imagine Joe Frazier waiting until the eighth round to throw a body punch? I mean, geez, it's so frustrating. I mean, neither guy really threw a body punch till the fight was more than half over. It boggles the mind, but hey, that doesn't take away from the excitement of the fight, and boxing needed a good fight, and those 90,000 people, they needed Joshua to win. And honestly, boxing needed Joshua to win. They need a new face, and boxing is so huge right now over in England, it's a shame we can't get it together here in the States. But that was not only a good win for Joshua, that was a good win for boxing.
I agree. I think this was the best win for Joshua. Although brutal, it was the best way for Joshua to win. I mean, as far as any critics, I mean, as a technique, Joshua was still young in the game. I mean, he still developed that. But,
right.
I mean, as far as any other criticisms about the guy, I mean, the guy, he showed heart. He showed determination. Even, I mean, when he was obviously tired, he showed the ability to still mentally manage. I mean, cardio can be worked on. I mean, he doesn't have to come in as heavy. Simple as that.
Right, that was surprising. That was surprising too. But you know, his post-fight speech to the crowd was telling, where he said, "You know, you got to try. If you don't take these kind of chances, basically, you can't make it." So I got to give him all the credit in the world for stepping up and, you know, just moving right up the ladder. And you got to give Klitschko some credit, because if he never fights again, he was more entertaining in defeat than he's ever been in victory. Not even close.
Oh, my goodness. And it's a shame, because now, I mean, it seemed that Joshua forced Klitschko's hand into fighting a more entertaining style, fighting a more, I mean, although it's, I say, more entertaining, still Klitschko, still 1-2, you know, and back
right,
away
right.
for defense. But he was a little more active in his motions, a little more seeking. He was a little more elusive, a little more fluid, not as stiff and rigid. That's what got him uppercut, the big uppercut that started everything downhill. I think if he was still in that stiff, rigid mode, he would have been gotten hurt. One thing that I say technically I really saw was Klitschko, and sometimes in fights in the past, he was more with his feet in fights, but especially in this fight, and I saw it early, is he always leaned one way. He always leaned to his right with his right hand down. And I'm like, all right, Joshua, you threw the right, you know, to make, you know, he's blocking it with his shoulder, with his left shoulder, and he's leaning with his hand, with his right hand down. Step in with the left hook. I mean, he does it all the time. If you do it all the time, you're bound to land one. But, you know,
yeah,
Joshua was young. He'll learn.
I think his last fight with Fury, which was probably the worst fight in the history of the heavyweight championship, I think he had to try something different. He couldn't just be the old Klitschko. Yeah, I never saw him bouncing like that on his toes in his whole career. And, you know, he did what he could, not only his age, but the fact that he hadn't fought in so long worked against him. But, you know, it was, like I said, it was an entertaining fight. I'm going to be interested, if I can get back home in time tonight, to listen to the different announcing team on HBO as opposed to Showtime and hear how they look at the fight, because whatever we hear tonight will be as if it's as if we're looking at it live.
Brand new. Absolutely. That I'm going, as I say, give credit to Klitschko and Joshua. Klitschko, I thought it was over for him. I thought after Joshua landed that storm in the fifth, thought it was it for the guy. I mean, Klitschko, he showed heart that I just didn't think he had.
Right. But you know what? He's never had a chin. To his benefit, no. Most of the guys he's been fighting in recent years haven't been able to hit him.
Sure.
Because, so when you can hit him, you get him out of there. But he's been able to stink guys out for so long with that pawing jab and right hand. And, hey, great win for Joshua. Terrific. He needs a nice rest now.
Oh, my.
Hey, Russell, do you have a resurgence of boxing in the city of Philadelphia? I know there's a card tonight. There was just a card 2 weeks ago. You got some pretty decent fighters with Jesse Hart and Ray Robinson. Can you give us your thoughts on both Jesse and Ray?
Is this show being aired in Philadelphia?
Oh, man.
Jesse Hart is a good prospect who's been brought up the way fighters are brought up in the 21st century by fighting guys well below his skill level. The only fight, he might be 23-0. He's been in one real fight in his career, the one that he had for me in Philly a year ago when he barely made it to the bell against a guy with a 23-win and 22-loss record who'd been tested and fought everybody. Right. So, but he'll succeed because that's how his, you know, when he gets to the top and gets his title fight, perhaps the champion he's going to fight came up the same way. Now, Ray Robinson, he came back after a year off and has fought so far two or three guys that are well below his skill level. And that's the problem in the business today, is there's just not enough. Guys don't want to take big fights unless they take competitive fights, unless they can get big money or get on TV, and that's just not happening for everybody. But so, yes, there's a lot of good young prospects in Philly, but you can't really tell how good they are until they start fighting better fighters. Even Jesse said to me the other day, half in jest, he said, you know, I'll fight, but I'm not going to fight Deshaun Johnson, or I don't want to fight for Russell again, or something like that. That's not the attitude a fighter's supposed to have. Those old-time fighters, imagine Joe Frazier saying, I don't want to fight that guy, or Benny Briscoe saying, I don't want to fight that guy. It's just it's a different world today, because it's all about the business. It's all about the business.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because Jesse just fought for the opening at the MGM down in Baltimore. And originally the contract was with Jesse and Frankie the Freight Train Philippone. And once they started taking a look at the films on Frankie and look at his style, they backed out of it immediately and did go to somebody I think Frankie would have taken Jesse had they been given a chance like that. But,
Listen, Frank, I don't know that I've ever seen Frankie fight, but how do you back out on a
a fight with Frankie Philippone. I don't understand it. I was at the show because I have Jason Sosa. So they brought in four guys from Mexico for the undercard, and I don't think one, including Jesse's opponent, and I don't think one of them won a round. And they were fighting all undefeated American fighters, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, Frankie Philippone is not the – listen, Frankie Philippone lost to Aaron Pryor Jr. He lost it to Neil Goico, who's like a 500 fighter. He lost to Sean Miller, who's an okay guy from upstate New York. You don't walk away from guys like that. Are you sure that that's really what happened in that negotiation?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do know the ins and outs of that one.
Yeah, I mean, you are correct. He was originally supposed to fight Frankie Philippone, but that's not just Jesse's fault. That's Top Rank believes in that. They don't. Members of Top Rank over the years have indicated to me that who cares about preliminary fights or who cares about fights on the card that are not the main event? And I just roll my eyes when I hear that kind of talk because, you know, you owe it to the fans who are paying big money to watch competitive boxing, not just one fight out of seven or eight on a card, but, you know, the entire card you should at least try. But it's all about getting the W today, boosting that record. It's like if Duke – we've been through this. Duke plays Lehigh 10 times in a row. Then game 11 is North Carolina. Well, are they going to be ready? You know, but if the championship game after winning 10 in a row is Muhlenberg, you know, then you're okay. Or if North Carolina has played 10 ducks in a row. So that's just a bit. Listen, it's not just boxing. It's people are just carried away with statistics today. I turn on ESPN. The Cincinnati Bengals have won five straight home games that started at 1 o'clock. I mean, who cares what they must have lost a game that started at 4 o'clock? Or here's my favorite, and I'm exaggerating. He's the leading left-handed free throw shooter in the Southeast Conference for Tuesday night road games against unranked opponents. I mean, who looks this stuff
up?
Wow. You know, it's crazy. They had a tough Ukrainian cruiserweight that fought on that show in Oxon Hill a few weeks ago. The one we're talking about with Jesse, his name was Yusik. And he was one of the three Ukrainians who won. He was a left-handed kid. He was tough, but he wasn't great. So I said to his promoter, I can get you Garrett Wilson from Philly. Garrett Wilson's as tough as they come, but his record is like maybe 14-6 or 14-8. And he says to me, and he's not lying, he says, we'd love the fight, but we won't be able to get it on television because of Garrett Wilson's record. So, you know, they'll wind up fighting a guy who is like 15-1 who television will buy, but who has no chance to win because that's just the way it is. It's the way it is.
What happens in
minute? Have a dinner date tonight. So I appreciate your
time.
I said I know that you had mentioned to me you had plans for this evening. If you have any time you have to go, please feel free. We respect you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
And really, really enjoy talking to you each and every time.
Okay, Frank and Z, take care. It's a pleasure talking to you guys.
Can we give another plug to your Lundy fight?
Friday, June 2nd at the 2300 Arena, Hammer and Hank Lundy of South Philly against Ricardo Lara from Jalisco, Mexico. It's one of 10 fights. A lot of good young prospects are on the card.
Great, great.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you, Russell. We appreciate everything you do for us.
Okay, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Z, we're joined by the historian of the air, Dr. Chris.
Forecaster of the week.
There you go.
I want to talk to that guy that was giving me a hard time about Klitschko was the greatest and all this stuff. And I picked Joshua. Bring that guy back on. I want to give him. I want to do some chirping.
It's the same.
Front running chirping.
It's a shame that he's not on because I have to eat the crow by myself. Nobody else is on with me. I have to eat it all by myself. Ty's not on. That guy's not on. It's all.
Well, you know what? It was a damn good fight, except Joshua wanted it more. He revived himself after that knockdown, and he said, "I'm going to win this fight." He went out there and he started throwing haymakers at the body. And did you guys watch the fight?
Yeah,
I did too. I wasn't going to watch it. Then I said, "I'm going to watch it tonight." Then I said, "Nah, I can't. Too damn hot. I'm going to pack up the tools, come in the house and watch the fight." And I'm glad I did. But my old theory of Klitschko, I call him, Paul with the jab, have the right hand about 15 inches away from your body so you can't throw it. He doesn't even know how to deliver a right hand anymore. He gets about two right hands in per fight, two good right hands. That's the way he doesn't have it cocked back by his chin. It's extended out as a defensive weapon, and you can't do that in the heavyweight division. And he paws with it. He likes to break up the jab with the right hand and push him, and he's too damn cautious. So he was gracious in defeat, and I'm glad that he came off nice this evening, but we saw enough of Klitschko. We saw enough. At least I have anyway. You know?
Let me ask you guys, next Friday night, Yuri Gamboa has a fight with Robinson Castello. Z, what do you think about this fight?
Yorkis Gamboa?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, he's trying to stay busy, apparently. I saw him maybe three months ago. He's trying to stay busy after long moments of inactivity. He's getting older, and his style is beginning to change a bit. He's not, the last time I saw him, he's not as dancing around anymore. He's a little bit more flat-footed, trying to land his power shots. Still has his defense, still kind of cute on defense, still capable of getting hit, but he's trying to land his power shots. Not really familiar with his opponent, but the way I'm figuring it, they're trying to keep him busy and trying to line him up for a big-name fight.
Great. Chris, what do you think about Gamboa?
I'm not a Gamboa fan anymore. If he fights a good quality fighter, he's going to have a rough night. There's not going to be any more easy nights for Gamboa. They know how to fight him now, and I just don't think he's going to ever be, you know, where he once was, the prospect he once was, or the fighter he once was. I don't care what he does. I'm not a Gamboa fan. You know, that's where, you know, I'm just telling you guys, you know, how I feel about the guy. I've never been a fan of his. I thought when he came up, he was really going to be tremendous, but I changed my mind over the years. So, but he's trying to make money and make a comeback. More power to him. I mean, that's great. But, you know, he's not going to, you know, win me over until I see more. You know, I got to see something better than what I saw last couple of fights. So, plus this tough competition in this division. Ooh, tough competition in that division. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough division. What weight class is this going to be? This one? What's he? You going to jump up, or is he going to jump back to where he belongs?
I'm deep. Gamboa is heavy. I think he's around 140.
140. He's not going to make it 140.
Yeah, I think he's too heavy for 135. He might be around 135, but I think he's around 140 about now.
He won't make it in that division. He won't make it in that weight class. That's a great weight class. And, you know, Gary Russell fighting. Gary Russell fight.
Gary Russell. Yeah. I don't know who he fights next. Well, interested to see Gary Russell. He's talking, trying to get a rematch with Lomachenko.
Yeah, I don't know why, but he wants one bad.
I don't know why.
You know, but you can't blame him for wanting to fight. He for wanting to fight. There's not, again, there's not a lot of people screaming to fight Lomachenko, but he's the only one that really wants to battle him. So,
I'd like to see him again. Salido's talking about going for him again.
How about
Salido? He moved up out of Salido's division, if I'm correct.
Uh-huh.
How about next Saturday? We've got Canelo Alvarez versus Julio Cesar Chavez. And then the co-title fight on that is David Lemieux versus Marcos Reyes.
Lemieux's fighting again? He just fought. Wow.
Yeah, he's relatively undamaged.
I'll tell you what. When he comes in at 175, 177, he's awful tough to beat. He's awful tough for a middleweight to beat. He come in there heavy. He was punching hard. He liked to kill that guy. He come in heavy.
Stevens.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Curtis Stevens.
Curtis Stevens liked to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very powerful guy. And it seems like he can make the weight, then he packs it. He comes in at 177, 176. He might even give Triple G a tussle at that weight, but he's got to weigh in it. If he got to weigh in at 160, comes in at 177, if Triple G don't have a contract restricting him to so much weight, he's going to give him a hard time, just like the guy from Brooklyn did, you know, with all that weight. So
yeah, and
I don't know how
like
the hell a guy could put 17 pounds on in one day and do better. I mean, that's a lot of weight. I know when I got 15 pounds heavier, I felt like a blimp. I wasn't ready to fight. Holy Christ. You know what?
I understand that one.
You know what I mean? Oh, we got 15 pounds, a lot of weight.
5 pounds makes a difference on the feet.
Yeah. 50, you know, you got
15.
I don't know how these guys do it. It amazes me how they can come the hell in over the weight so high and still look great. Matter of fact, look better. Look stronger. Maybe different training methods do it.
Hey, Chris.
That's probably what does it.
Your other favorite fighter, Yui Fury, is not going to be able to fight next week. So they brought in a Razvan Kanjanu to fight Joseph Parker.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, I haven't either. He's got 16-2 and 9 KOs. Parker, they're going to do it down in Auckland, New Zealand. Again, that's next Saturday night. It's pay-per-view. It looks like Fury had to pull out because of some problems with his hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We got a great fight coming up. It's a mystery fight, Canelo and Chavez, because you don't know what the hell Chavez is going to do or what he's going to come in at or how he's going to look or I mean, it's really the most skeptical. How the hell can you predict anything with that guy? Can he make the weight? Can he fight at that weight?
From what I'm hearing, he has to give up $1 million per pound that he's overweight. $1 million per pound that he's overweight.
I heard that. I heard that. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot.
So,
that'll make you get up from the table.
Run. But
$1 million a pound. Whoa.
And then we're talking about 15 pounds to weigh in on your feet. I mean, now we know Chavez is going to come in after. But to me, we've already seen Chavez in that form, in that weight. The biggest question mark to me is going to be Canelo. How does he move around with that weight? Can he still blend the senses with his body with that extra weight on. I mean, he's coming up from what, 154? It's 11 pounds. 150, yeah, 155. Canelo's at 155 anyway for the 154 belt. But so he's coming up 10 pounds, which is enough. That he's putting a baby on. He's going to have, can those reflexes be blent with his speed, his timing? Can he twist this way in time to counter? Chavez is used to that. That's more, you know, along the lines of his weight. More along the lines of his weight.
Mm-hmm.
But Canelo, I mean, that's the differential that I'm thinking. His power, obviously, I don't think it's going to be at, you know, at what it, you know, that, and it is at his current weight. But, I mean, they both, you know, people look at Chavez as a big guy who comes in and bludgeons his opponent. Chavez can box. Junior Chavez is a good boxer. I mean, he to do what he does in the condition he does, he has to be a good boxer. I mean, just because a guy gets in on the inside doesn't make him a bad boxer. You have to know how to box to get in certain positions. He knows how to step around to let his hooks off. He knows how to, you know, get in position to let his uppercuts off. He knows how to jab his way in. He knows how to throw a good one, too. I mean, the guy, he knows how to defend really well, and he can eat a punch. So, I mean, we all know the bright, shining things about Canelo, but as I say, he's fighting a guy, you know, to where I think the question marks are more on Canelo. What do you think, Dr. Chris?
Well, you know, Canelo's a stocky fighter. He can't pack too much weight on. And I think if it goes into the longer it goes, the better it's going to be for Chavez if he comes in heavy. Is there a contract saying he can't come in at a certain weight after he weighs in initially? I mean, or is it just $1 million a pound at weigh-in?
I'm not sure if there's a rehydration clause. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's right. If there's no rehydration weight, he becomes very dangerous. Chavez becomes dangerous. And that's what I'm waiting to see. You know, if there's no penalty for rehydration weight, look out. You don't know what the hell is going to happen in that fight. Because Canelo's a shorter guy. I'm sure that Chavez will have reach on him, height, reach, and so forth. And if you're going to have weight besides, it could be a hell of a fight. You know?
Have you
Canelo's
seen the
limited,
yet
he's
with
got
the
limited,
Canelo?
A limited amount of ability. I don't think he's one of the all-time classic boxers. He's got limited abilities. But Chavez has makeup to become a hell of a fighter. And he just never applied himself. I think he partied up too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what his history was. I think he was clowning around. Now he's serious. Now, you know, he's probably broke.
Son of the legend.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting fight. You know, it can go either way. It's one worth watching, that's for sure. But Canelo's a body puncher, and God, he looked awful good against his last couple of opponents, but they were weak. They were weak opponents.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Amir Khan was looking to get knocked out. Christ, he looked horrible. And that other fighter he fought after, that wasn't any good.
Yeah.
So,
Liam Smith, Amir Khan, and Miguel Cotto, I think, were his last three. So, and they all were basically smaller. Well, Liam Smith was Canelo's size, maybe even a little bigger, but not on that level.
Yeah, not a good fighter, not that good a fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Canelo's had soft opposition.
Yeah.
This is going to be a real test for him.
One thing I'm going to say, and to go technical with it, Chavez is going to get hit clean. He's going to get hit clean with several shots and counters. I think Canelo, he's going to have those opportunities with Chavez. Chavez, I mean, he's not a fast fighter. He's not an urgent fighter. He has good defense, but he has good smooth defense. And he'll get caught while rolling his head. He'll get caught looking, you know, to do something. Other hand, Canelo's going to get hit clean too. And even if he doesn't, he's going to get hit. He's going to get hit and hurt. I mean, Chavez is going to be the bigger guy. And Chavez doesn't mind hitting everything. He'll hit your arms. But also, Chavez doesn't mind hitting, you know, opening things up. He'll throw a hard 1-2 up top, you know, and then he'll repeat it. Then he'll repeat it, and right after that, he'll throw a hard hook to your body. He has a lot of tendencies that his father has. I mean, when it comes to offensive, when it comes to using his defense off of offense, he'll roll his head. He'll you know, bend his knees. He'll roll his head. And, you know, as you're jabbing, throwing your 1-2, and you're throwing at his head, he'll do that, and then step to his left and get a nice left hook to your liver off. He'll go ahead, hook to your liver, and bring it up to your head. He'll throw a lead right hand, and then come down to throw a left hook to you. The Chavez's are known for their left hooks to the body, wicked left hooks to the body. He has inherited that. Canelo will get hit with that. We're going to see how durable both guys are.
His father always threw hooks to the body, but I didn't like what his father did. He would drop the left hand to throw the hook to the body, and his whole left side was vulnerable. And I said many times, when he loses some of his reflexes, somebody's going to pop a right hand in there before that left hook to the body lands. Sure enough, along came a real good counterpuncher and gave him a good whipping with that right hand, beating him inside that body punch. I can't remember the guy's name.
Probably Frankie Randall.
Yeah.
Frankie Randall.
beat him to the punch constantly.
Yeah, when I noticed with Chavez, during his career, watching video, against weaker punching opposition, he would stand straight up and throw that left hook. He would stand. He would get away with it. Yeah, he'll get away. And he didn't mind getting punched in the face as he did it against weaker punching opposition. And that Meldrick-Taylor fight, he tried it. He tried it, and he really didn't get away with it. He started bending his knee. And I noticed he did it against other fighters. I noticed he really started having to bend his knees to get at Meldrick's body, you know, to kind of bend his knees to move his head to get out of line of a lot of things.
Right.
And he's doing that and having, you know, Meldrick, he was fast with pop and pretty accurate. So he had, as he's rolling his head, he had to adjust and parry. As he's moving his head, he has to move his head and block. Junior Chavez, he has inherited those things. He has inherited those gifts. It's just his work mentality. His work rate is not that. And his father will fight all fight long. Come forward, all fight long. He'll fight off the back foot.
Well, it's going to be interesting, guys. And when is that fight? Next week, right? Next weekend?
Yes. Next week.
Yes. Next Friday night.
There's some good ones coming up, man. You got a rerun of the light heavyweight. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You got some good fights coming up. You know?
Hey, what do you think about Robert Helenius is coming back in the ring after a layoff? And he's calling himself Robert 2.0. See, you think he's going to be he's going against Derek Chisora, but what do you think his chances are there?
Chisora? Who's that? I'm sorry, who's that?
Robert Helenius.
He's coming back against Chisora.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the most recent Chisora that I've just seen, Helenius needs to stay as far away from that guy as possible. that was the motivated Chisora against Dillon White. You don't want Chisora motivated. You want Chisora lackadaisical, not really caring. You don't want any hype at the press conference. You want this guy, kind of bored with it. That way he'll come in out of shape and not throwing many punches and, you know, just sort of coming forward and kind of, you know, just not getting beat up, but just taking shots. A motivated Chisora, all of a sudden the guy, he knows how to box. He throws proper punches with good timing. The guy's very durable. He's always durable, but he's extremely durable, and he's defensively aware. I mean, he's all of a sudden more complete. Hellenius, he doesn't need that after not coming back. He can have several fights. If he runs into that Chisora, he's not going to beat him. I just don't see that.
I got to go along with that. Good analogy. Good analogy.
Good. Yeah, another guy's coming back in the ring after a layoff is Tomas Adamek. He's going to be fighting June 14th in his homeland in Poland. What do you think about that one, Chris?
I didn't catch the name in the beginning.
Tomas Adamek.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think he should stay the hell where he is, retired. I just can't see him improving over the last three or four fights he had at the end of his career. I don't see him improving, or, you know, and the competition is going to be tough. I don't see him improving. He must be broke, poor guy. To come back.
He made an awful lot of money, and he sent it all back to Poland and became a land baron back there, and has a lot of property over there. He was one of Kathy Duva's, he was in her stable. And,
so he's well invested?
When he retired, she wasn't too happy about that.
Mm-hmm. So he's well invested. Well, that's good for him then. Then he should stay the hell and look at his investments. Keep looking him over. Don't look for somebody to punch him in the face. I mean, he had a good fight with Cunningham. Correct me if I'm wrong. He had a really good fight with Cunningham, didn't he? Dave Cunningham.
They had
a classic battle. I mean, that's how many years ago?
Yeah.
Oh God,
that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Take it from me. The toughest opponent there is in ring history, Father Time. Nobody's beaten him yet. And he's beating me up right now. I'm losing my match to Father Time. I thought I ran out of gas today. It's 85 degrees. I was trying to work in the heat. Oh, my God. It's awful. I said to the young kid, I had a kid about 14, a big kid, 200-pound kid.
Oh.
I said, it's going to be all up to you today, boy. I'm going to use your youth. I worked him to death. So he's saving money for a car. He's in seventh grade. I said, are you crazy?
Oh, you
spend
go.
The money and raise hell. Have a good time with this money. You know, seventh grader, he's making 10 bucks an hour cash. He thinks he's on top of the world. You know? So we had a good time work, but I really made it. I used his legs. I said, go get this, go get that. I can't. They found Frank. They diagnosed me about 3 weeks ago with atrial fibrillation.
Yeah,
and they're trying
to
put me on thinners and do all that bullshit. And
I'm
going through that. And, you know, all the doctors are putting their heads together. Sometimes that's dangerous. You know.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's where the hell I'm at now. So.
I heard your buddy called me the other day and told me that.
Who, Ronnie? Yeah, he's coming up in May. He's coming up.
I heard.
He's going to wait for it to get warm. He's even bringing his golf clubs. So
that's.
I got to watch that.
He's
going to
play one day with you.
Yeah. Well, probably more than one day if he's going to be up here a week. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Whatever he's got open, maybe we get his buddy, the car guy. You know what I'm talking about.
Joey. Yeah.
Joey, we usually go up there and have dinner, have a great dinner. Gary's great to us. We have a fabulous dinner, and then we really enjoy that evening. It was a great evening. So I'll be looking forward to it. So.
Yeah, good. Z, what do you think about the last Porter fight here where he stopped Berto in 9?
I can't believe we didn't talk about that. Let me tell you something. Andre Berto's tough. With that said, it resembled a 1970s alley monkey. It was just everything was all the fight. It was just all wrong. Porter tried to box, and Berto. When Porter tried to, he tried to box, get outside, look cute, try to land his shots. He was successful sometimes, but Berto started getting his timing down quick, and Berto started to look pretty good on the outside too. It didn't look like Porter just hit the switch and said, "Okay, it's enough of this," and just put Berto on the ropes and.
Beat the hell out of
him. Nothing was real clean. Well, the body shots were clean. Berto could really do was land a counter uppercut, which doesn't really move Porter. Porter, he's the type of guy who'll eat a power shot and keep doing what he's doing. You consistently have to hit him hard for him to even think of slowing down. It wasn't even like he canceled the train. It was just, he was pinned on the wall, and the train just kept going. And,
one guy was too strong for the other. It boils down to strength. Porter out-muscled him, beat the hell out of his rib cage.
Oh, my God.
And then he will. He's going to have sore ribs the next day. I know that. And he showed his age and all the tough fights he had, it showed up with Berto. I think that's how people are going to fight him in the future. Just going to roll over him, beat him up. He can't outbox anybody anymore of the top guys.
Absolutely. In the Guerrero fight with Berto and Guerrero, it was more than any fight that exposed Berto's lack of foot movement, I'm going to say. Being able, in the Sean Porter fight, it's just I thought it was the worst style matchup until I actually saw it. And you know how sometimes you're like, oh, I know it's going to be a car accident, but then you actually see it, and it's more horrific when you see it. That's kind of how that was, because Berto couldn't go. He couldn't go anywhere. I mean, every time he would try to move, Porter would just use his shoulders just to box him back in on the ropes. He didn't need the corner. He just needed his shoulders. Berto, and then you see the look on Berto's face, like, almost, I can't do anything about it. I can't defend the head. I can't, his arms moving anywhere, not blocking anything. I felt for the guy. I felt sorry for him.
Right, you felt like a guy hunting lions with a BB gun. Can't do it. You know? All you do is make him mad. Make him mad. He come after him and beat him. That's what he did. He got Porter mad, and he got the living hell beat out of him. You know?
That's what it seems like happened. Oh, my goodness.
He took an ass-whipping on that fight. I know that.
It wasn't clean. Like, in boxing, you see a lot of clean stuff. You don't see that in boxing. He implored his physical being on him, and he just see everything about him, just couldn't do anything about it.
No, he doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the power, the strength, or the size to hold off a guy like Porter. He's too damn strong. He's a little bull.
The technique to turn him out, or to move him, or to land your.
Remind me of the old days, and when the Basilio was around and them kind of guys, they just come out and overpower you and beat the hell out of you, and no questions asked. I mean, not much you can do about it sometimes. And I felt bad for still myself. This guy's getting killed, and there's no exit door. He's looking for the exit door, but they don't have one in the ring, you know? Well, he'd have got the hell out of there.
You can't hold him. I mean, when you're trying to wrap his shoulders, and he's just he's slinging your arms off with the shoulders as he's hitting you. Yeah, that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a shame. Yeah. Well, that's. I know there'll be no rematch of that fight. You know.
Well, guys, we're at the end of our hour here. Chris, I want to thank you again for a terrific show. Z, you're always right on, spot on with your diagnosis of the fights, and to have a guy like Russell Phelps tell you that who's been around the fight is almost as long as Chris, and Chris told you that means a lot to me. You really do a great job. So I want to thank both of you.
Tell my buddy about chirping. Tell him I would have enjoyed having him here tonight. Damn it! I'll catch him again though. I'm not letting
him
off the hook. I got two crows I cooked. I shot them, and they're in a freezer. Don't worry.
That's right. I'm still eating mine, Dr. Chris. I'm still eating mine.
It kind of dry too. Tastes good.
No, they don't. Go down.
All right. All right, guys. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Okay. Have fun, guys. Frank, I'll see you, buddy. Bye now. All right.
Z, you want to lead us out?
I sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Mr. Russell Peltz. I want to thank Dr. Chris, lovely as always. I want to thank you, Butch, all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Butch.
Thanks, Z. We want to send our very best wishes out to Mr. Mel. We know that you're back there and that in your unfavorite place, but we'll get you home soon, and we're thinking about you. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just let them know that you know they're there. A handshake, a smile, or anything you can do to help them out would really be appreciative. Tonight's show was dedicated to Corporal Stephen Ballard of Delaware State Police, a young man shot down in the very beginning of his career and had a lovely family. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogo, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, Special Inspector Vinny Galaccia, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Lieutenant Arthur, Wilmington Fire Department, and Corporal Stephen Ballard, Delaware State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezah yelama, son ashen evorat fet, haku igegen ma yelama.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezah yelama.
mean a fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the
response to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.